In our last study, we saw in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, which we are going through here in the next few weeks, the meaning of the dream that Daniel interpreted for King Nebuchadnezzar, which was a prophecy concerning the Gentile domination of Jerusalem until the latter times of God's plan and purpose for the ages. Today we continue on our study of this book of Daniel with chapter 3, which is a well-known section dealing with idol worship and the defiance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were friends of Daniel and had been taken captive there into Babylon. As a perverted result of the dream and the interpretation of Daniel that we saw last week, Nebuchadnezzar proceeded to establish emperor worship and state and idolatry worship in Babylon, despite what Daniel had interpreted about him with regards to the dream. So today we pick up in chapter 3. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. To get the flavor of this, we're going to read some of it. We'll read here to begin with. We'll read through the first 13 verses to begin with. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." What was the image? Well, the image was one that became very common at that time. The word in the scripture in the Greek is Asherah. And it comes from the word dishar and means to be straight, erect, and upright. And in the beginning, it was to have the connotation of prospering and happiness. But it was the image of the male reproductive organ. The word occurs 40 times in Scripture, and it is usually rendered grove. It was most often a tree that had the top cut out and the trunk carved into this image. There became literally hundreds of thousands of these images throughout Babylon and that part of the world. We know of this obscenity and paganism because it is found in Scripture, it's found in history, it's found in archaeological things. There's no making it up. And I do not want to spend a lot of time on this pagan worship, but it is associated with the doctrine of Jezebel, which was fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. For greater understanding of this practice, I cite you in your companion Bible to Appendix 42. And there you have a much more detailed version of what this idol actually was. And the sad thing is, it is what is referred to as the abomination of desolation. It will again return and be set up in the temple at the end times. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are on the spot. Worship or fire was their choice. Nebuchadnezzar was enraged and furious because these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would not worship this idol. That idol still today, by the way, is used with false gods in Muslim religions, brought down with the music and all of that. It still exists in parts of the world today. And even today, those who will not fall down and worship this image are killed because of that. The three are brought before the king. The ultimatum is given. And for the answer, let's read on in chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, the false psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They had a lot of guts, didn't they? What faith there in verse 16, it says, we are not careful. They didn't even have to think about it. No question in their minds. They are not shaken like a reed in the wind. Rather, they are like a rock that the wind can split itself in half. They would not even consider what the king was asking them to do. They'll take it regardless. Verse 18, but if not, they say, here is the supreme stand of faith. It is one thing to serve God who promises us a return. And sometimes we tend to want to bargain with God, with him for health and protection. But it's another thing, and comes as a shock to some, to face the fact that some of God's most faithful children have suffered tragedy and even death for the cause of Christ. And here we find this Shadrach and Meshach Abednego with that kind of faith. Yet, none can read Romans chapter 8 without seeing that from the days of the first martyr, who was the first martyr? Abel. Cain killed him. The model words of these three friends have always had their place. Turn back to Romans just to review that. Romans chapter 8. It's a very familiar bunch of scripture to you all, but it stands with regard to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God or Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or a fiery furnace? Let me stick that in there, not to rewrite the scripture, but as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I've wondered, would I have been so defiant of a king? That hurts to go into a brick fire, a fiery furnace, I'm sure. Just how far is the Church of the One Body faced in these things with regard to Antichrist in the future? It certainly is within the range of possibility that we may, in fact, and there are people today who are being faced with this very decision that has to be made. Christians who have to stand against the inducement and persecution of incipient Babylonianism, because it's rearing its ugly head again in our culture, in our society. If you don't believe it, look at what went on this past week at Davos in Switzerland with the World Economic Forum. These things are coming, and the Antichrist is going to jump and take control of some of these things within the world. If so, we should remember Daniel 3 and realize the hope that is in our future and not what we might may be faced with here on earth. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Fear not, for I have rendered thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine." That's the comfort that we have as Christians and members of the body of one Christ. Well, the king was full of fury and rage and commanded them to be bound in the furnace to be stroked 7 times hotter. I don't know if you are familiar with some of the archaeological things that have been determined about Babylon. That whole empire was made with bricks. Everything they built was really well made, and they fired bricks. By the millions, they made bricks. And so they actually had these furnaces that you could throw somebody in because of the processing of these bricks that they made. And you know the circumstances well, but I want to go ahead and read again the count once more there in Daniel, beginning with verse 19. "And then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was charged against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast these men bound into the midst of fire? And they answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. And I might add, it must have burnt their bounds and nothing else, because they were walking around and able to walk out. So God can do wonderful things. He can burn one thing and not anything next to it. Verse 28, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except thine own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And by the way, they were already in prominent places, as was Daniel. Daniel became almost like vice president of Babylon. It was a Christian Jew. shows the power of God in dealing with kings and men in general. Now, in verse 25 there, Nebuchadnezzar knew nothing of Christ, of course. So what this was, if you ever heard of a guardian angel, in this case, this no doubt was a guardian angel. I don't know which angel it was, but this angel was in there with him. It was quite obvious there was four people in there and not three. Now, I don't know if you have recognized this, but there is a series of confessions by the rulers of this book showing growing acknowledgement on their part of the one true God. And that is a foreshadowing of what we're going to see in the latter times. Gradually, the kings, the princes, the presidents, the people of this world are going to see who the really true and one God is. Because we read, every knee and every tongue will confess that he is God. The first of these confessions we look are in back in the chapter we looked at before, chapter 2. Look back at chapter 2, verse 46. Chapter 2, verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, capital G versus small g, and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing that thou couldest reveal this secret. Daniel had not only interpreted the dream, but told him what the dream was. Nebuchadnezzar didn't reveal the dream, but Daniel knew the dream and interpreted the dream. But here's the first confession of a complete pagan acknowledging who God is once he has actually seen his power. And this is something, like I say, that is going to be happening again on the world scene in the latter times. Now, this was not a very deep nature or a change of heart that Nebuchadnezzar had, nor did it cause him from refraining to set up this image that everyone had to worship, but he still set up the image anyway, even though he's now acknowledging that, hey, that your God is a God of strength and power. He went ahead about his ways. However, the power and might and the intentions of God Almighty is beginning to have its effect. And we see that further then here in chapter 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Here's an additional confession that God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a true God. And then in verse 29, he then goes a bit farther and publishes another decree. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. So he's beginning to get the idea here of what real power in a kingdom actually is. And truth is beginning to win out. But in chapter 4 that we're going to get to, the fullest and the most complete recognition of this one true God comes into being. How this was accomplished occupies the bulk of chapter 4. And we will look at that again next time. And I don't want to, it's kind of a division line here. I don't want to go on until we can take that whole chapter. But chapter 4 of Daniel is perhaps one of the most remarkable in the whole Bible, because it was not written by Daniel, but written by Nebuchadnezzar himself. It's amazing. And so we'll continue our study in the book of Daniel next week with chapter 4. You may want to read it in advance. It's all good stuff. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this written word, for the understanding that we may have as a result of it being available to us. We thank you for your love. We're thankful that you are mindful of us, as you were mindful of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I pray that we all may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that we may stand with a faith as they had in you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.